life to come now and teach us in this wonderful last moment that we're together. Father God, that you may be glorified through all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
All right, here's first question. As we read our scriptures, we must take the approach that what we're reading is written to whom?
Amen.
All right, now that's exactly what we're going to do, and see if you can discern what's going on. I'm reading from the 24th chapter of Matthew, starting with the third verse. And I'm also going to be reading from the book of Revelation, starting with the second chapter, and I'll also be reading from the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. And what I want to try to do is tie all of this together in the next 45 minutes. The beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. The 24th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the third verse. And when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and asked him privately, tell us, when is this going to happen? What will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the world? See, one of the things that I began to really desire once I experienced what salvation was, once I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God and began to witness and minister, all of a sudden the thoughts began to come to me, I wonder when Jesus is coming back. Y'all ever had those thoughts? I mean, in fact, we've got preachers that run up and down around and across this nation telling people that he's coming August the 4th, 1991. He'll come back July the 6th. He's got to come back in 1988. I mean, we've heard all kinds of different times and reports that Jesus was coming. Now, what I want to do, I want to read this, and I'm going to let you discern when he comes. This is the Word of God, and we read it like Jesus was talking to whom? He's no longer talking to the disciples. All of a sudden, he's here in this room, and he is talking to us. And he says this. He says, Charlie Osborne, take care that no one deceive you, because many will come using my name and deceive many. Charlie Osborne, in your particular generation, there's many going to be deceived. Now, folks, do we see people and know that they are deceived? We can discern that, can't we? All right. So we know that's going on now, don't we? All right. Now, listen to this. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed, for these are something that must happen, but the end is not yet. Now, when I begin to read this, what I started doing, I said, well, if the end is not yet, when will the end come? And all of a sudden, this thought came to me. It says, when I can no longer hear wars and rumors of wars. If those are signs of the end that is coming and I'm still hearing it, obviously my end is not yet. But the day I stop hearing about wars and rumors of wars, I'll be out of here, because that Jesus said they will be coming from now on and on and on and on. He said, but when you can't hear about it no more, what happens? We're out of here. We won't hear about it no more. You know you're gone. Because as long as we're here, we're going to hear about it. Listen to what else he said. He said, for these things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will fight against nation. Are we in a struggle right now? We've got a situation where we could very well go back right into war. Yes. And in my lifetime, I'm only 57 years old. It's hard for me to count the wars. I mean, I couldn't count them on my hands and my toes, the wars that we've had and the rumors of wars. In the 57 years that I've been on this earth, it has something that's been constant. In fact, I've been involved in a couple of them. They came that close together. And I was young enough to remember the one that was the biggie, World War II. I was just about 8 or 9 years old when that thing broke out, so I remember it very clearly. All right? Now, listen to this very carefully. For nation will fight against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes here and there. All of this is only the beginning of the birthing pains. These signs are the beginning of pain. Now, I'm going to ask all of you in here, have any of you been caught up or have you experienced any kind of pain lately? Well, obviously, we're into something. And here it says it's birthing pains. Now, I've had people for years since I've been in this, I've heard this report. You must be born again. Y'all ever heard that? Well, folks, let me ask you wonderful women. When you begin to be born or you were giving birth, was it out of pain that birth was coming? Did you know that something was coming because you were in pain and those pains were coming systematically every 3 minutes? I got another, oh, it's getting close. You knew something was happening. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if we're being born into the kingdom of God, it looks to me like where Jesus said, all of this is only the beginning of the birthing pains. From the day you and I were conceived and got into this world, we have been in a birthing period being born into the kingdom of God. It is a painful thing, and we're constantly experiencing that pain. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that's real now. Because we can hear of wars and rumors of wars. We can hear of famines and earthquakes and pestilence in different places. Can't y'all hear that? Well, obviously, we're right in the middle of something. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that I'm in. Jesus said, what? Don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to hear these things. These things are going to run at you. You're going to hear. I mean, there's going to be people. Donaldson, Sam Donaldson. Boy, you turn on him and he'd have you ready to kill somebody. In fact, listen to what I heard him say last night. He said, boy, this is an opportunity for us because we have developed weapons that we've not been able to use yet to kill people. Every weapon that we've ever deceived and put together was used for the destruction of people. From folks from the time the man could pick up a rock or a stick or a sharp instrument when Cain killed Abel. We've been developing ways to do it. And I'm going to tell you, we've got a whole new era of warfare. We have developed weapons that we're going to practice with. What does Jesus say? Don't let your heart be troubled. The end is not yet. Why? Because we can still hear about it. The minute I stop hearing about it, my end is over. You know, my Bible says there comes a day when no man can work. You know when that day's going to be for me? When I'm not here. I can't work no more. Isn't that simple enough? Huh? It's not something that I'm looking for. It's something I know is going to happen. In fact, if my next 57 years goes as fast as this past 56 years, 57 years, I'm out of here. Bye. I tell you all bye now. But you know, the only day that I can walk in this, the only day that I can hear of wars and rumors of wars is when. So right now is the only time I can be deceived. You know I can't be deceived tomorrow? You know I can't be deceived yesterday? When am I deceived?
Now.
Because when do I hear of wars and rumors of wars?
Now.
Are y'all starting to get the picture? All right. Now listen to this next part. It says, they will hand you over and be tortured and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations on the account of my name. I want to know, what have we got to do for this United States to hate me? Because it said all nations. It didn't exclude any. I want to know what it is that I have got to do, because Jesus said if I followed him, every nation of the world would hate me. Love your enemy. Folks, you can build a church on every corner. We can heal the sick. We can feed the unfortunate. We can have prayer meetings. We can have great seminars. But the very minute you start loving your enemy, I'm not going to let you do that. The only reason, folks, listen to this. If we start loving our enemy, what happens to the judicial system? You think about it. What happens to the lawyers of our nation if husband starts loving wife and wife starts loving husband and we start loving under the message that was preached this morning that we are one and we're going to suffer without retaliation for better, for worse, sicknesses and health till death do us part. I give you permission to kill me and then when I get out of here I won't hear about none of this anymore. Y'all listen to this? So really what we're coming down to is that we got to be willing to die to follow Jesus. Now, folks, that shouldn't be a problem for us because we're dying anyhow. If we weren't dying, then I'd say, let's throw this stuff in the trash and go out and have a party. Have a Michelob weekend. But, folks, I'm checking out of here. And I don't really know when that is. I know my time is not yet because I can still hear of wars and rumors of wars. But there's coming a time when I won't hear those no more. I don't know when that time is. To be close. So you could say that we are in a birthing period. We're being birthed into the kingdom of God. I'll tell all of you, the day that Jesus went to the cross and destroyed death was the beginning of sorrows. It is in the sorrow of... Folks, you know I don't like to humble myself. You know I have to make myself do that. To me, that's I don't like it. You know I like the results of it, but I don't like doing it. I don't like it. The beginning of sorrows. Our life is filled with sorrow. Things that you don't like. I mean, we just don't like it. Jesus said, the end is not yet. And listen to what else he said. And then many will fall away. I remember the first time I ever read that, I thought it was people leaving the church. But listen to what he said they will fall away from. Many will fall away. Men will betray one another and hate one another. What then are we falling away from? Love. Falling away from it. Many will fall away from love. They will betray one another and hate one another. Are we living in that? So that's not something that's going to happen. That is something that's what? When?
Now.
Is it going on today?
Yes.
Well, obviously the end is not yet. Now listen to this one. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And with the increase of lawlessness, love in most men will grow cold. How many people have you seen that are in opposition to abortion? They become very hateful, judgmental. They become angry. And they are just mean, and they just become obsessed with anger. Just because of lawlessness, we would lose the love in our hearts. We're living in a lawless nation. Do you know, folks, every generation lives in a lawless nation? Every generation. We're living in a lawless nation. And it says, men, love in most men will grow cold. But he also says this, but the man that hangs on to love to the end will be saved. To the end of what? To the end of the world. What world are we talking about? My world. I can't hang on to your love. I can only hang on to my love. I can only hang on to the Holy Spirit in me. And when the day comes that I can no longer hang on to it, this flesh will be gone.
That's when the end will come. A lot of people like to make reference to it as a rapture. You know, people are waiting for Jesus to come back. I'm going to tell you, he comes back daily. As he came in the beginning, it said he came by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, God is present here with us. He's constantly coming to those that call out to him. That's the second. I experienced Jesus 13 years ago. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit and filled my life with love and joy and peace and happiness and righteousness and set me on fire. I'm not waiting for a second coming. I got it. My end is not yet because I'm still hearing the wars and rumors of wars. So I better be busy preaching and loving in this lawless world, totally willing to die. Because I'm dead anyhow, if I'm in Christ. Is that right?
Right.
But the man who hangs on to love till the end will be saved. The man that hangs on to it till the end. To the end. I don't know when that is. So the only day that I can hang on to it is when? Today. I got to hang on to it today because the very next second may be the end. I don't want to be caught with love away from my heart. I don't want to be caught with that out of my heart. I don't want to be caught condemning somebody. And then it says, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel? And then their end come? What's he telling this generation? To go into all the world and preach, and then what? The end will come. My end is coming. The end will come. Now, listen to this next one. The great tribulation of Jerusalem. Who is Jerusalem? Where is Jerusalem? Right here. Don't we read this as if God himself was speaking to me? Then I'm a Jerusalem. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a symbol of God. I'm a representative of Almighty God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He is my brother, my friend. He's the one that redeemed me and empowered me to do this, didn't he? So then I am a Jerusalem. And it says the great tribulations of Jerusalem. Now see if this fits anybody. So when you see the abomination of desolation of which the prophet Daniel spoke, set up in the holy place. I want to know what the holy place is before we go any farther. We are reading the scriptures as if they were written to whom? Come on, Saint John. It's me. I'm a holy place. Now when you see the abomination of desolation set up in a holy place, what in the world is God talking about? The man that's lost his love. He is an abomination of desolation. He is a rank wild beast. That's what he is. Do we see evidence of that today?
Yes.
Folks, that's what causes the wars and the rumors of wars. We see the abomination of desolation set up in holy places. Every person on this earth is a temple of God, whether they like it or not. And if love is missing, they become an abomination of desolation. That's what they are. And we're still waiting for them to build something back over in Israel. They're building a temple. God builds his temples in who? No man build God. No man can build a temple. Who builds temples?
God.
What kind of temples does he build? Holy temples. Holy Spirit-filled temples. And anything apart from the Holy Spirit is an abomination of desolation. We have no purpose to live. And we become a rank wild beast. Uncontrolled rage, hate, greed, selfishness. All of those things pouring out. Now, I'm not going to take time to read the rest of this down to you, but I want to get down to take the parable of the fig tree, to 32nd verse. As soon as you see the twigs grow supple and the leaves come out, what does that indicate?
Spring.
spring is near. Now, what else does it say? It says, know that he is near at the very gate. The gate of who? I'm a gate. God is a gate. He's right near. He is one breath away from me going in. Amen?
Amen.
One breath away. So we know from the things that we see that he's at the gate. We know that summer's near, winter's near, spring is near, fall is near. We know that they're 57 years old, we're 27 years old, we're 35 years old, we're 80 years old. We know that it's near, don't we? It's a breath away. He said, know this, when you see these, that he's at the gate. Didn't he say he's always at the gate knocking? At the door knocking? Now listen to this. It says, I tell you solemnly. Who is he talking to? This generation, before this generation has passed away, all of these things will have taken place. My, my, my. Do you know, I'm either going to go to heaven or hell. My tribulation period is today. Birthing pains are today. The wars and rumors of wars are today. The pestilence are today. My trials and tribulations are today. It's all in the now. It can never be any part from right now. Right now. That's the reason that we're to hang on to love. We're not to be deceived by these people that are abomination of desolations, declaring war and killing all this. He said, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled by any of it. Hang on to love. Suffer without retaliating. Serve and not expect anything in return. Be on fire. Be a love message. Be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Be a messenger carrying this good news to the whole world. He said, then the end will come. My end has not come yet, but it's coming. So I'm to preach this message to the whole world, right? Then my end will come. Do you know I've already done that? I feel like I'm on my second or third time around. It's amazing what you can do in 13 years with the transportation systems we got, the communication systems we got, all the printing presses. I mean, it's amazing how much you can put out. One person, how much, especially if you get a group of people helping you. It's amazing what you can put out. It's amazing how many places you can go in 1 year. I travel more distances in 1 day than Jesus did in his whole life. In 1 day, I traveled more in a 24-hour period than Paul traveled in his whole lifetime. Flying from San Francisco to the Philippines. Wow. More distances than St. Paul traveled in his whole life. In 1 day. Amazing what God has given us to proclaim this good news. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And we want to read this. Now, again, I want to ask you this question. As we begin our reading of Scripture, we must take the approach that what we're reading is written to whom? Y'all real excited about it too, aren't you? Right? Amen? Come on, wake up. We can't, we're not allowed to snooze. If you snooze, you lose. Gotta be alert. Amen? Now see if y'all can catch this right quick. Write to the angel of the church at Ephesus and say, who is the angel writing to?
Me.
I'm Ephesus. What does seven mean in the Bible. What does it indicate?
Complete.
In other words, these seven churches that we're fixing to read about, it's the complete church. It's the church that encompasses every human being that lives on this earth right now. Right now. It's not something that happened. It is something that's going on right now. The Word of God is alive and sharp as a two-edged sword today, now. And God is speaking to me now if I listen to Him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this right here was one of the greatest little books I ever got a hold of. Y'all remember when I read this to you? One sentence on page 54. As we begin our reading of Scripture, any book even opens up to it. As we begin our reading of Scripture, we should take the approach that what I'm reading was written to me. I'm Ephesus. I'm Peter. I'm Mary. I'm Joseph. I'm Abraham. I'm John. I'm all of these people. I must apply myself. Now listen to this church at Ephesus and see if it will fit in your life. Here is the message of the one who holds seven stars. What does seven mean? So whatever seven stars are, they're complete. And if you go back up to the paragraph above it, it said the stars are the angels. All the angels of God, God holds them and they're complete. They're not anything going to be added or anything taken away. So these the seven stars are the angels in His right hand who live surrounded by seven golden lampstands. What is the golden lampstand? Right above that it says the golden lampstand is the church. Who is the church?
Me.
I am. So then I become a golden lampstand. Folks, the saints here and the saints that have departed, we are surrounded by whom? We surround whom? God said if there's two or more gathered in my name, I'm there with them. So God is here right now, right? So the saints that have gone on are with God, and we're with God here, right? So then the golden lampstands are us. Because our end has not come yet. We're in the flesh. The ones that are in the Spirit, you know, they've made it. We're still working on it, aren't we?
Yes.
All right? So now it says, I know all about you. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question. Does God know all about me?
Yeah.
Isn't that easy? I know all about you, Charlie Osborne. I know how hard you worked. I know how much you put up with. I said, yeah, that's me. I've put up with a lot, Lord. I mean, I've wore them airplanes out. I've been all over this country. I've preached in every little crook and nanny. I mean, Lord, you know, Lord, that's exactly the way I read it. The first time I read it, that's the way I read this. That, yeah, Lord, that's me. Boy, I've been working hard. He said, I know how much you put up with. I put up with crap all the time. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Y'all put up with the same thing? Huh? All right, now listen to this. I know you cannot stand the wicked man. You know, I never have liked the wicked. I didn't even like myself when I was wicked. I never did like me till I found out God liked me. Listen to this. And how you tested the imposters who call themselves apostles and proved that they were liars. Folks, how do I prove a person a liar? By preaching the truth about Jesus. And I walk into a place and preach the truth. Those that are preaching a lie, it exposes them. That's the way you expose liars, is not by calling them liars. You preach the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, this is a pretty good church, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
We exposing the imposters. We were out preaching the truth. I feel like I've been preaching the truth ever since I started. As I know it, I know that love is the only way God said we'll know the disciples. I've discovered that love is agape. And that means to suffer without retaliating. All of a sudden, all the Scriptures, especially the Sermon on the Mount, is exactly what you got to do. And that's where you become a son of God. So I must have been in some truth, right? So I had to be doing something right. Now listen to this. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself, aren't I? All right? And now listen. I know, too, that you've had patience. Boy, does that bust a button off of my chest. Old Charlie's been patient. I know how you have suffered for my name. Boy, I'll tell you, I've logged in over 7,000 flying hours flying all over this United States. I've been caught in every kind of weather condition. I've had airplanes that I just knew were going to disintegrate right in the air. I've suffered. I've been bounced off the roof of airplanes. I've had my necks so stove up that I'd walk around like this for 2 or 3 weeks preaching.